This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Now presenting Fig and Ford in the Case of the Greater Gatsby. Episode 16, Torn. Written and created by Sean Prasad and Sinead Prasad.
At the new office Willie had found for us, it was absolute chaos as a cavalcade of painters and movers and probably shakers streamed in and out of the doorway, bringing in shiny new desks, lamps, and doodads. Ford directed them this way and that, throwing some of the more nautical-themed decorative items Willie had picked out straight in the garbage can. I was glad he was taking the reins on this moving process. I was all out of faith. This is how I felt. Cold and ashamed, bound and broken on the floor.
That's a little dramatic, don't you think? Get up.
Hey, where do you want this?
The phone? On the desk.
Makes sense. I'll set that up for you, pronto.
There's just still so much we don't know. And now we learn that Whitley and F. Scott were at odds? That never came up on the tapes. Plus, I don't know my lines for today.
Knock, knock. Just delivering your new door. Mel found out about the new office and wanted to make sure that you had your privacy to continue working on her case.
Thanks. Set it down over there and the movers will install it.
Sure thing. Could you just help unstrap me from it?
Oh, God. Okay. Turn around. Just...
Thank you, Mr. Ford Lips. I mean... Ford? I mean...
Stop trying. It's okay. I don't need you to address me. Or be near me. Gross.
Sorry. Allergies. Let me just...
T.D. wiped his nose on his sleeve. It wasn't great.
I'll just see myself out. Perhaps I'll run into you on set today, Miss Weinshine.
How come you got her name right?
Bye, T.D.
Max Scoot.
After surviving T.D.'s visit, I looked around the new digs. Despite a few too many anchor and seashell trimmings, I'd say it looked a lot better than most of the dank boxes I'd found myself in thus far. I made a mental note to myself to be a little less surly around Wilhelmina from now on.
Phone's all set up.
Thanks, bud, but hopefully we won't be hearing it ring for quite some time. Phillips and Weinshine, detectives to the stars and sometimes wrongfully accused bar owners. How can I be of assistance?
Why aren't you doing anything about the threatening notes to movie stars? Barnaby Nightingale's paper says they are still happening, and that you are the PIs on the case. This needs to stop. If anything happens to Jimmy Stewart, I will spontaneously combust. That's a real thing, you know?
Whoa, simmer down there. We're doing all we can. Thank you for your call. Jimmy's in great hands. Good grief, Chucky Green. The barrage of phone calls from upset civilians refused to let up. People were citing the Nightingale Gazette for pointing out the flaws in our investigation. The line was as clogged as Sheila Graham's toilet. That's a joke for all you who listen closely. Yes, Mr. Suarez Jenkins, I understand that you're upset, but Katherine Hepburn has excellent security and a fantastic vocabulary, but that's neither here nor there. Now, there's no need for name-calling. I'll have you know that... he hung up?
I gathered. I'll take this one. What do you want? Yeah, I remember you. You saw what? Yeah, all right, we'll be right there. That was Citizen Jasper Fox, Sheila Graham's neighbor. Says he saw someone suspicious around the building. Let's go check it out.
Can't! You heard, T.D. I'm due on set in an hour. Dramatic scene with Leary today. I'll make sure to ask him about his kingpin relative in between teary-eyed takes about Grandma Joad's death.
You do that. I wasn't resentful at all that Fig had to go to work pretending to be a tap-dancing farming matriarch or whatever that inane book is about, instead of helping me solve one of the 70 mysteries we had on our plate. I waited outside of Sheila Graham's house, clutching Fitzgerald's tape reels to hand over to Claudette, who was kind enough to meet me at Citizen Jasper Fox's to figure out what the phlegmy fellow was feeling. We'd had a run-in with the good citizen when we first came to talk to Sheila about the night of Fitzgerald's death. He accosted me for smoking, and then told us he saw Fitz come home around midnight with no visitors, all while managing a hearty and robust cough.
Ford! Did you bring the tapes?
Sure did. Here you go. Make sure they go where no beats can find them.
Thanks. Hey, did you catch this case on your tie or something?
No? What do you mean?
There's a piece of fabric that got caught in the hinge of it. Look.
Sure enough, there was a tiny ripped piece of maroon fabric about a half inch by a half inch. Claudette carefully lodged it free of the metal case and placed it inside with the tapes.
You're getting lazy in your old age, Phillips.
Well, that's why I keep a pro like you around. Any luck getting those pictures from Hypatia? A murder weapon would help us out a lot.
No, and it doesn't sound good. She didn't want to say anything over the phone. I'll keep digging.
Excuse me! Are you here about the intruder? Are you just gonna stand around outside gossiping? Or are you gonna... Help me.
Citizen Jasper Fox, apologies. My friend and I were...
No smoking!
I'm not.
I know. Just in case you got any ideas... Hello, miss. I didn't get your name.
Claudette Knickerbocker, LAPD.
So, you say you saw someone skulking around here about an hour ago?
That's correct. Skulking is exactly the word I'd use. I'd never heard it before, but I would use it. And I...
Is that Chevy Fleetline in the driveway yours?
Why, yes. My pride and joy. Well, her and my... begonias.
Those aren't even available to the public until next year.
A fellow car fanatic. Just won her at the Carmel Car Show. Won't be out till June. How about that? Citizen Jasper Fox. Finally... a winner!
I'm very jealous. She's a beaut.
So, this intruder, can you show us where you saw them?
Yes. I was watering my bougainvillea. Right here. Look at them. Aren't they beautiful? Careful! Thorns! And I heard a clatter. And I... I looked up. And so... I saw someone right by Sheila's window right there.
There's a tree in the way. How sure are you that you weren't seeing Sheila?
Sheila left this morning for her new job. She hasn't been back since. And when I called her out, the intruder ran away.
Was it a man or a woman? Can you tell us how tall they were? Hair color?
My eyes aren't as good as they once were. They were kind of a dark blob. Maybe wearing a hat. Although, it could have just been hair. Or bald. Or bald with hat. Anyway, my begonias won a prize in the Encino Flower Festival in August, so I thought maybe they were here to snatch them from me!
That's certainly a possibility.
We'll take a look around and see if we can dig up any clues. Thank you for your vigilance, and if you see anything else, please be sure to call us again.
Many time.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
Well, Ford, you know I enjoy following the ins and outs of the auto industry.
Sure, that's been well established.
Agreed. I not only know my way around a carburetor, but I also happen to know that the Carmel Car Show took place in Carmel, California, 260 miles away, from December 19th to December 21st.
Interesting. How could someone have been at the Carmel car show and also right here in L.A. where he said he saw F. Scott Fitzgerald come home around midnight, and nothing else?
You see, someone! Fetch an ambulance! I never saw Paris! I'm sorry. I don't know what got into me.
Claudette, tell him what's gonna get into him if he doesn't start rattling that jaw.
Probably the overwhelming urge to contact a lawyer. Fancy a citizen's arrest?
Jasper's eyes went wide at the sight of the handcuffs, and suddenly all the bluster and bravado evaporated, replaced by a jittery unease and constant looks over his shoulders.
Fine! Fine! I wasn't here. I didn't see anything! I'm sorry.
Then why lie?
I can't see!
Cough once if you were persuaded to tell anyone who asked that you saw Sheila and F. Scott come home at midnight the night of the 20th.
And cough twice if that person has a name that rhymes with Schmo Schmeets.
That weasel has his slimy little hands in everything.
What did he threaten you with?
Well, nothing specific. He just kind of shook his fist at me.
Wait, that's it?
Yeah! Also, he raised his eyebrows a little. Like this.
That's what it took to scare you into submission? A Three Stooges impression? He didn't threaten your family or stomp your flowers or impound your car?
Nope, just the fist thing. And the eyebrows. 80% fist and 20% eyebrows is what did it.
I can't believe this.
Oh, hello. Is everything quite all right?
We turned to see a concerned Sheila Graham walking from her parked car.
Sheila! I called them because I saw someone skulking around your place. Isn't that a great word? Skulking. Hey, please don't walk on that part of the grass. I just watered it, Sheila.
Oh dear.
It doesn't look like anyone broke in, but we'd be happy to join you inside and give the place a once-over.
Oh, I think I'd like that. Thank you.
As we followed Sheila inside, I wondered if Fig was having any luck with Leary at the studio.
It felt like months, not days, since I'd been on the lot in hair and makeup. I found myself looking forward to it, in a way I used to look forward to my writing or PI work. But this case, or cases, were getting to me. My head was spinning with suspects, crawling with crimes. I longed to escape into the musical dust bowl and just leave the twisted real world behind.
You in your makeup, Weinba?
Clearly. I'm covered in dust.
I don't know what you do in your personal life. Go run lines with Leary. We only got a couple takes with this windblower. It's a rental from Mr. Connor's Hat Haven, and I've been informed it might explode if we use it for more than 10 minutes.
On it, boss. I bid my makeup artist adieu and headed to Leary's dressing room. The twang of his guitar strings sounded from within. Hey there, scene partner. Want to give these lines a practice so that Penny doesn't have a conniption?
Fig! Why, I'd love to. Let me just rustle up those sides.
Say, while I have you, you don't happen to share DNA with noted crime boss Luigi O'Shaughnessy, do you? I didn't know how Leary would react. Some folks aren't at all pleased when you bring up their ne'er-do-well relations, but Leary just sighed and nodded.
Well, that Luigi sure did take a wrong turn somewhere. He's my half-brother. Heard about his involvement in Bixby's ousting. Such a shame. But I wouldn't dare try to talk any sense into him. Scary feller. Always rolls up to family reunions in a new car that I'm sure wasn't bought with honest earned cash.
So you're not close?
Nah. I'm a lover. He's a fighter. Only thing we got in common is that O'Shaughnessy passion. A sort of raging fire in our veins. I try to channel mine into the arts.
I suppose I'll have to try to get Bixby his bar back another way.
All right, here's my script. Starts with your line.
Hey, Pa Jode, hope you're ready to tap dance your way through this dust storm. Oh, jeez, this movie is terrible.
Claudette and I finished combing through Sheila's apartment, rejoining our host in the living room where she was pouring us tea. You don't have anything stronger, do you?
Oh, just let the bag steep longer.
Yeah, that's not what I meant.
Everything's clear, Ms. Graham. No signs of forced entry, no one in the apartment but the three of us.
I'm sure Citizen Jasper Fox was just seeing things. He's so easily excitable.
Just the same, if you see or hear anything out of the ordinary, let us know and we'll send someone out.
As Claudette wrapped things up with Sheila, I was distracted by a small, dazzling light that shined directly in my eye for a second before disappearing. I turned to the front window, expecting to see car headlights, but nothing. As I walked forward, the light twinkled again, and I saw it. Something metal was hanging in the curtains, reflecting the sun as the breeze billowed through the open window. I pulled out a handkerchief and tugged the offending object from where it was stuck. An impossibly shiny tie clip, emblazoned with the letters B-E-N.
What's that you have there?
Nothing, Ms. Graham. Thought I saw a bug.
A bug, eh?
I exchanged a glance with Claudette, who seemed to understand. It was time to get out of there.
Leary and I had been waiting for 30 minutes under the hot set lights while Penny tried to make the wind machine work.
How much longer, Penny?
I swear to God, I'll just blow on them if this is how it's gonna be.
I was about to excuse myself when a whirlwind of a human being stormed onto the set with Wilhelmina in her wake.
Sorry I'm late, darlings. Lost track of time listening to Sheila Graham's new radio show. She is so bad.
Everyone, this is Juniper Wet Blossom. She'll be taking over Lex Punchwhistle's role. She's such a delight. Everyone clap. What's wrong, Rex?
Lex is still missing. And these people just callously replaced her without a thought.
Oh gosh, Rex, I'm so sorry. And I'm also sorry I keep forgetting that she's missing.
It's okay. I know you have a lot of tap dance moves to hold in your brain.
Nice to meet you, miss. Juniper. What a lovely name. I'll have to put it in a song.
Loved you in Suffering Safari.
You saw that little picture?
It was number one at the box office.
A small passion project.
It had a bigger budget than Gone with the Wind.
Just some friends hanging out and making a little thing.
The president talked about it in the State of the Union.
It's important to always be working.
Here, Juniper. I made you one of my famous coworker bracelets to welcome you to the team.
Oh, Willie. It's divine. I'll wear it until I die.
Aha! Got it working! Oh, no! It's set to suck, not blow!
Oh, no! It sucked up my bracelet. Never fear, Willie. The bracelet is still intact. This is made of some sturdy stuff.
Only the best for my coworkers.
Juniper, off to hair and makeup with you. Penny! You'll just have to blow on them!
I hastened to catch up with Juniper before she was whisked away to hair and makeup. Juniper, Fig Weinstein, former reporter, current PI, and at the present moment, moonlighting as an actor. Did you say Sheila Graham has a new radio show?
Oh, yes, and its tawdry is all beans. The gossip that gal has is enough to make a beet blush.
Interesting. Thanks for the tip. See you back on set.
Are you okay?
Hmm? Oh, did I not say that out loud? Darn, I must have internal monologued it and not realized. Sorry, my double life is really getting to me.
I understand. I dated a PI for a while, and he'd do that all the time. I started learning how to read facial expressions really well. Now I'm dating a mime, and we're really happy together. Anyhow, you might want to take a gander at Sheila's show. She sure did have some things to say about you.
Juniper skipped off. I wondered what the nail in the coffin for Juniper's PI relationship was. The long hours? The darkness that inevitably creeps into your soul? Or perhaps the realization that the person you're with will always prioritize work? I shrugged off those thoughts and got to my scene with Leary. Later, I'd have a radio show to listen to. What rumors was Miss Graham spreading about me?
Shipwreck Comedy presents The Case of the Greater Gatsby. Written and directed by Sean Prasad and Sinead Prasad. Featuring Sinead Prasad as Fig Weinstein, Sean Prasad as Fort Phillips, Julia Cho as Mover and Sheila Graham, Blake Silver as T.D. Hammermeister, Paul Komorowski as Phone Caller, Joanna Sotomura as Claudette Knickerbocker, Parvesh Chaina as Citizen Jasper Fox and Whitley Chucklehouse, Lauren Lopez as Penny Nickelpenny, Carlos Alizraki as Leary O'Shaughnessy, Christina Ariel as Juniper Wetblossom, Sarah Grace Hart as Wilhelmina Vanderjetsky, and Brian Rosenthal as Rex Punchwhistle. Original music by Dylan Blathorn. Audio recording by Noah Hunt Audio. Mixing and sound design by Lizzie Goldsmith. Executive producers Paul Komorowski and Michael Walsh. Produced by Mary Kate Wiles, Sarah Grace Hart, Sinead Prasad, and Sean Prasad. Special thanks to Kickstarter backers Katie Adamczyk, Allie Brown, Zainab Khan, Xiaoxi Kuo, Jane Leach, Avali Long, Liesl Perrine, Halsey Root, The Rude Mechanicals, Heather Tennant, and Justin Waterman. Please rate and review the show wherever you listen. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/shipwreckedcomedy to receive early access to new episodes and other bonus content, and to support us making this show. Visit Shipwrecked Comedy on YouTube to view the prequel film for this series, The Case of the Gilded Lily, or many of our other projects, like Edgar Allan Poe's Murder Mystery Dinner Party, our 11-part series that imagines a bunch of famous figures from literature in one dinner party that goes terribly wrong.